Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Border to Border, the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Voted on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. The award-winning Wendy's Big Show.
Let's get ready to rock. Let's get ready.
Wendy's Big Show.
Showtime, baby. Play some ball. Showtime.
This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler.
Welcome in. It is the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. Live from the Lakeland University studios with online learning in 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms. Lakeland.edu. Leroy Butler will be here coming up to start the next hour. He has got a couple schools where he's doing his anti-bullying campaign that he does throughout the school year. So he is off and about in doing that. You know, we from time to time talk about the greatest Packers of all time, and you know, Charles Woodson's went into the Packer Hall of Fame, Al Harris went into the Packers Hall of Fame, and all of this stuff. But Butler, and I'm gonna say this because he's not here, because if he was here, he wouldn't want to participate. But he is unmatched. If you think about the stuff that he does around the state of Wisconsin versus any other former pro athlete that lives here or that played here at some point. Gilbert comes back a lot. Gilbert Brown comes back a lot and does stuff. Santana Dotson is back from time to time doing stuff. But Leroy, really, with the anti-bullying stuff that he does and everything else that he does originating out of the state of Wisconsin, I think it's unmatched as far as the dude that really kind of gives back the most and does the most with the community.
No other of all three professional sports. I'm just talking about Bucks, Brewers, Packers, right? No Milwaukee Buck player. Now, Johnny Mac, shouldn't say that.
Johnny Mac, Mac Foundation, for sure. It. Yes, Johnny Mac.
Let me step back a little bit.
Yes, Johnny Mac. Yes.
Johnny Mac has done a ton here.
A ton.
But outside of that, I believe that maybe
former Brewers, the only one I can think of is Yount with the Chinooks,
yes.
But they just sold.
Right.
So he's no longer part owner of that. But Yount was there, involved there a little bit.
Yeah.
But and him and Paul Mahler coming back and doing a signing at Waukesha Sports Cards. But as far as doing stuff in the community, I mean, Leroy's going to schools and influencing the youth and doing that type of stuff. And you can go meet Leroy pretty much any weekend you want. He's at a pick and save like every weekend somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you really want to meet him, get his autograph, whatever else, he's kind of always there if you want to have that opportunity. I think it's pretty cool, and I hope everybody appreciates all the stuff he does in the area. Okay, coming up on today's show, about 1/2 hour, Ben Fennell, NFL Network, and now is NFL and CBS producer as well. He comes up in 1/2 hour. He kind of going in a little bit on A-Rod, a little bit, saying hero ball was back again this weekend. So we'll talk about that with Ben Fennell coming up in a half hour. Paul Zeiss, I think that's how you say his name, from 93.7 The Fan, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette columnist as well, wrote a piece on Monday saying that the Green Bay Packers should bench Aaron Rodgers and start Jordan Love going forward. So we'll talk with him coming up in about 90 minutes. If you missed that Corbin Burnes interview that we had yesterday, Brewers starting pitcher threw the combined no-hitter with Josh Hader. We'll replay that for you coming up in the third hour of the show. All right, so first questions first, going off that Rob Domofsky piece that we read from yesterday on the air a little bit. Do you think the NFL has caught up with the Packers and Matt LaFleur's offense? You think the NFL has caught up with the Packers and Matt LaFleur's offense? The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. Now, again, we go back to this piece by Rob Domofsky on ESPN. In last year's meeting, the Saints defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, blitzed Rodgers, sending five or more defenders on 14 of his dropbacks, and Rodgers thrived. He completed 9 of 13 passes with 2 touchdowns against Saints blitzes, which resulted in 1 sack. On Sunday, Allen sent 5 or more twice, instead opting to devote more manpower to coverage. Even though Rodgers had time to throw and was considered under duress only 3 times, he never found a rhythm, going 15 of 28, passing for 133 with no touchdowns and 2 picks. That was how the Chargers slowed down Rodgers in 2019. They blitzed him on just 1 of his 39 dropbacks. That 2.6% blitz rate remains the lowest rate Rodgers has faced in his career. Sunday's rate of 6.9% by the Saints is the 5th lowest Rodgers has ever faced. Translating that plan into layman's terms, the Saints essentially dared the Packers to run the ball. While myriad of factors contributed to the Packers' lack of run attempts, an offensive line with 2 rookie starters and an early deficit chief among them, LaFleur took the blame for not getting more done on the ground. To me, again, when we start talking about this Packers team and how this is going to work, and we brought it up right away on Monday, when you look at their losses in the last couple of years, and I didn't even look at the Rodgers pass attempts, I was looking at Aaron Jones' touches and rush attempts. Anytime, that Eagles game, you know, he gets just a handful of touches. And grant you, he didn't do anything with a handful of touches, but then you just bail and say, oh, it's not working, we're just going to throw now, and it's over. I mean, you put yourself in a complete bind at that point, because once the defense, I think, figures out, all right, they quit on the ground game. We've seen this before with Rodgers and the Packers. They're just going to throw it now the rest of the game. Once that's no longer a threat, pin our ears back and go after them, if that's what you want to do, or drop everybody into coverage, which seemingly has been a thing as of late against Rodgers, and dare him to take what's underneath. And Gary, I don't see the all 22 tape. I saw it just watching the regular game film, where you got a couple of guys underneath running wide open with nobody on him, and he's holding onto the ball forever trying to make a big play downfield, and it results in an incompletion or a sack or a throwaway or whatever, because he waited forever. All of this to me is very concerning, but I think it more has to do with LaFleur and Rodgers not sticking to what works, and as one guy called it yesterday, panicking, which you didn't like the word panicking necessarily, but I mean, that's kind of what it is. Oh, it's not working. Screw it. We're done with the running game. We're just going to throw now and try and make big plays downfield. So my answer to the question is, I don't think the NFL's caught up with the Packers and Matt LaFleur. I think the Packers and Matt LaFleur just need to learn to stick to their game plan, because it does work and will work, but you just can't bail on it.
Yeah, I don't, and I said this on our post-game show, Green Gold post-game show on Sunday night, and I'll say it again. I think it's more on Rodgers than it is Matt LaFleur. And I'm not blaming, but I think that's where it lies. When I said to you on our postgame show, matter of fact, my good friend Dan Plucker and I will be doing the Green and Gold postgame show Monday night.
Packers-Lions.
Yeah, Packers-Lions. And that's going to be weird. Not to get off topic. That's going to be weird, though, because, you know, I used to play for the Lions, and everybody knows that Plucker is a Lions fan. If the Lions were to win, I don't know what that's going to feel like.
He can celebrate. I've said it. I mean, he doesn't want to, because, you know, he's going to be rubbing it in Packers fans' faces. But I don't care.
He's shrugging his shoulders.
You may not get another opportunity to do this.
See, I'll celebrate, but I know where I stand in as a Lions fan in the NFC North. Like the Lions have been a disgrace
but
forever.
Packer
so
fans,
it's like, is it really going to matter in the long run to their season? Are they going to be a Super Bowl team? No. So I'm not going to like freak out by any means if the Lions win.
Here's what I like about you. Can I tell you what I like about you? Here's what I like about you. You wear your Lions gear whether they lose or win.
That's true.
You don't wear it when they win like some other people do.
24/7.
24/7, 365. You always wear your Lions gear all the time. So I'm good with that.
Cool. Thanks.
We used to have some people here that were Lions fans back in the day. And they would only do it when they win, so they didn't win much. And then they would talk, you know, behind the windows and stuff like that. But getting back, let's just get back to this. I think it's more about Rodgers than anything else, to me. And I said this in our post. He wasn't on time. He wasn't. There was no rhythm. There was nothing. And to me, it's all about Aaron Rodgers, Steve. He's got to play within the concept of what this offense is all about. And he just doesn't sometimes. He's doing his own damn thing. And when teams said we're going to take Devontae Adams away, then he just got to let that be and go somewhere else.
Yep.
And he's not doing that. He's forcing it to Devontae. He's trying to force it to here. He's a smart guy. Dude, read the defense. Take what the defense is always going to give you something. They can't take away everything that you do. This offense has been working in San Francisco with Garoppolo, for crying out loud, this Trey Lance kid they got over there. Then you saw Matthew Stafford in his offense with the Rams first year just tore, well, who are the Bears, but just tore up the Bears with this offense. I mean, this offense works if you work it. So to me, it's not really about Matt LaFleur. I think it's more on Rodgers, where they got to get him dialed in again and get him to start reading defenses and go with it that way. Now, I just don't think that's what we saw in the game on Sunday night.
Well, see,
Sunday evening,
right?
Sunday afternoon.
That's why when we start talking about, you know, have they caught up one way or the other with the Packers? I just think it's more on the Packers for screwing this up than it is on the actual league essentially catching up to them. If they do what they're supposed to do and run the offense that they're supposed to run,
right?
And again, and don't bail, I think the offense still works and the opposing defense can do whatever they want. It's going to be very, very difficult to stop them. The question is, do you think the NFL has caught up with the Packers and Matt LaFleur's offense? The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. Gary is going to tell us all about his good friends over at the Jewelry Center.
Guys, three locations locally. 76 in Layton Plaza in Brookfield, Blue Mile Road, and Tri-City National Bank Building. Third location for you good people in Burlington, Wisconsin. Guys, shoptjc.com is a website, and it's where you want to be. Interactive website. You guys will absolutely love it. Guys, within that website, you can actually design, that's right, design your own diamond engagement ring. Guys, within 48 hours, they'll get back to you with the price of that ring. And also, they're the home of the Lightbox jewelry. And what is that? Guys, those are lab-grown diamonds that nobody else in the state really has them, really at the price that you're going to get them for at the jewelry store. Matter of fact, guys, and I'm going on record here, if you're shopping at another jewelry store, and I'm telling you right now, you're paying too much money. Right? Just go give my guys a shot at the Jewelry Center. Go talk to the owner. Call him up today. His name is Dean Murray at the Jewelry Center.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, live from the Lakeland University studio. Steve Sparky Fiverr, Gary Ellerson, Ben Fennell, NFL Network and NFL and CBS producer, one of the film analysts you're going to find. He joins us coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes. Looking forward to talking to Ben. He's been kind of going in on this Packers offense last couple of days on Twitter, pretty much saying hero ball is back. And that's not how you're going to win with the Green Bay Packers. We've seen this before with Rodgers. I want to read a tweet that we got yesterday, last night, whenever it was, from a guy named Bryce. And he tweeted
Bryce
at
Pop?
No. And he tweeted at Leroy, Gary, and myself. And he said, hey, I talked to farmers here in the Cooley region area. They love your show and love the chemistry you guys have. Tractors have it on the speakers. Keep up the great work. Seriously, go Pack, go. And this is my crew. That's Bryce tweeting at all of us. So shout out to all you farmers out there listening to us on your tractors and blaring us on the speakers and all that fun stuff, man. That's good stuff, man.
Steve, when real quick.
Are we going to talk about your growing up on a farm?
No. But that is great stuff. It's about social real quick. So when I quote tweet, what's the difference between quote tweeting and then just, I guess, responding to the tweet? What does the quote tweet do?
If you reply to the tweet.
Yeah, reply.
Right. If you reply to the tweet, which is essentially what I did.
Okay. That's what you did.
Right. So then they will see it.
Right.
Whatever. Uh-huh. And then other people will just see that thing.
Okay.
And then they kind of essentially have to click on your tweet to see what the other tweet is.
Okay.
When you quote tweet, now people can read what the tweet is, essentially. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then your response above it to it.
Oh, okay.
But it's not as easy for the person, in my opinion, to see your response that you're quote tweeting.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I'd have to show you. But
I know exactly what you're saying.
You understand?
Would you have to show? Let me
see.
People
always
yours.
Got upset at me whenever I quote tweet.
They did?
They don't. Yeah, people don't like when I do it. But
yeah, people love when I quote tweet.
So there
they
you go.
They don't like you as much.
So, right. But so that I just responded to him.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
You quote tweeted it.
Yeah, I quote tweeted it.
Right. And So that's kind of all.
Well, that's good. We got,
so if you
we
want
got,
people to see what you're replying to, then you kind
go.
Of do it, right?
Yeah. So that's me, Steve. I just think it's about Rodgers. It's about Rodgers being on time. And I think sometimes Rodgers did this with McCarthy. You remember this?
Yes.
And I can remember I think it was a game. I believe they played the Colts at Lambeau Field, and he was all messed up. And I remember McCarthy had to come back. We just had to get him
back
in.
That was the Andrew Luck game, I think.
Yes. They had to get him back in, sit him back down, and he had to start going and just getting recalibrated again. And he does this where he just gets off, and then they allowed him to have input within his offense, obviously. So, obviously, it's part of what he wants to do and what LaFleur wants to do. I just think he needs to get back on target here.
All right. The question is, do you think the NFL has caught up with the Packers and Matt LaFleur's offense? Let's go to Buzz in Elm Grove. You're
like
first up on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary and Sparky. What's up, Buzz?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show as always.
Thanks.
So I just want to make a couple comments, and then I'll hang up. First of all, I do agree with you, Sparky, and your comments right before the break and what you've been talking about now. I don't think the NFL has caught up with LaFleur's offense. If you watch this game, again, on Gary's point, it appears Rodgers not in the flow mentally or physically, just based upon what we witnessed on the field. The other thing I want to just kind of throw at you, two things. He's always seemed to have an issue with, I think they call it like a two-shell defense. If you remember years ago, a coordinator named Dick LeBeau,
he would
always give Rodgers fits. Mike Zimmer, even back to a guy named Monty Kiffin back in with Tampa Bay, always seemed to affect Rodgers' game. Don't know why, but, you know, it was proven again. Then the other aspect I have that I just want to throw out there, I'd love to get your comments on this. This is more on the defensive side. You know, we all have our opinions on King, obviously, you know, gifted athlete, 4.4 speed, all that stuff. But here's a guy that didn't play at all during the preseason. And my question is, how does he become the starter for the opening game if he didn't play at all and we were all suspect of, you know, his performances in the past?
Because you can't lose a job due to injury, according to their coaching staff.
Yeah, seems pretty weak to me. I mean, I get that. It's such a vanilla answer, especially when you got a high draft pick that, you know, that we didn't see. And it was the same with Amari Rodgers on offense. Here's another guy that everyone seemed to be super high on. What do we have to lose? Would we be any worse off if we played some of our rookies? And the last point I'll make is I have the same head-scratch feeling of over Dean, over Lancaster and Lowry. You know, is that the best we could do to field those two guys as starters again? Thanks, guys. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, preaching to the choir.
They have. And I hate to talk because to get to that level, you got to be playing some really good football to be in the NFL.
No doubt.
Right? So I'm just
we're just comparing him to other players in the league.
That is a position that they need to get better at, and I don't know how they haven't figured that out or to know that they can play. We'll have Ben. I want to ask. I remember the question I was going to ask Ben. I hope I don't forget it again. How many of these guys could start or be in a rotation with the San Francisco? Not San Francisco. Who was the other team?
Buccaneers.
Buccaneers, yeah. Defensive line. I would really want to know that. I'm not there at practice every day, but it feels like they could be better up front on the defensive line than what they are.
I think every average fan agrees with you. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to watch this and realize they should be better. And this is exactly what I was harping on going into the draft and free agency last year was this defensive line. Leroy was on the middle linebackers. Yeah. I was on the defensive line.
And see, to me,
neither got addressed, really.
And see, I was always taught, unless you got maybe a Ray Lewis, but even a Ray Lewis had to have who, Steve?
Oh, you had to have the guys up front.
He had to have Saragusa.
Saragusa, yeah.
Holy Nada.
Yes.
I mean, in order for that guy, Ray Lewis is probably going to be good no matter what, or great no matter what. But you need to have that guy up front to make you better or greater than what you really are.
To allow you to run, to make the
tackles. To allow you to do your thing.
Yeah.
And they don't. And so you can have backers all you want, but if you want your guys up front protecting you, it's going to be tough.
Mike the Painter, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary and Sparky. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
I'm in total agreement with Gary on, the NFL hasn't caught up to LaFleur's offense. They just got to take what the defense gives them. And I think Aaron got frustrated because their game plan wasn't what the Saints were going to do. You know, they came out with something different. And he got frustrated, and they just started winging it. And I think if they stick with the game plan, you're going to get those open guys and go with the flow, what they give you, and we're going to be all right. I just think it was frustrating for them because they thought they were going to get a different look, and they didn't get the look that they thought. So I'm not too worried.
You're right about that, but this is the problem, Mike. They get paid to make adjustments as a coaching staff. So you're right.
Right.
They didn't blitz as much as they were expected going in. Now that it's halftime, okay, fine. Make your adjustments. Hell, it started the second quarter, make your adjustments. Clearly in the first quarter, in the couple possessions.
And they saw it, Steve.
Right. I mean.
They know that. That's simple.
That's what they get paid to do.
You guys were saying you're right, Dave. And they had guys open. And that puts it on Rodgers. He shouldn't have been waiting for those deep play balls. He should have been taking what they were giving him.
And that's why you weren't going to get that deep ball to MVS.
Nope.
Yeah, they weren't going to give it to you.
We're not going to give up the big play.
Not doing that. We can get stuff underneath. And our last call, two calls, was right. That has kind of been the MO, how you can beat Rodgers. Make Rodgers be patient.
Yep.
Slow him down. You can't necessarily let him beat himself, basically, what it comes down to.
A lot of quarterbacks will beat themselves.
Right. If we can get him frustrated, we're up 17-0. He wants it all in one big chunk. We're going to give him this. We're not going to let him get over the top. Safety, sit your butt in middle. They're going to run his double post move up the middle with MVS. They think we're doubling over the top with Devontae Adams. We're going to give Devontae Adams a 20-yard out or the 50. He can have it all day. But we're not going to go for the old banana in the tailpack where they get MVS run the middle. Sit your butt down. Or Tonyan's coming across. He can have Tonyan all day. If you want to check down to Jones or whatever, he can have, but we're not. And so, but when you're up 17-0, it feels like, now if you want to use the word panic, maybe. Maybe they panic. I would use it more frustration. I think Rodgers sometimes gets frustrated, and he's got a lot going on right now. I'm still in the conversation, and you pointed this out to me, and I thought it was great, and somebody else did. You said, dude, watch Bakhtiari go over and put his arms around. Uh-huh. And that's what that was. My boy coming over saying, hey, it's going to be okay. Just relax, settle down, I got your back. And I felt like he got frustrated in that game.
I have a football question. Why doesn't this team run more slants? Like the Jerry Rice type slant, the quick hitter, and letting MVS try to run away. from the defender trailing him.
I don't know.
Or to Devontae Adams.
It just feels like MVS to me at this point is not made up like that. He ain't, no, he's not made up like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I understand.
Don't drive or do that in the sleep all day and don't, it
correct,
won't care.
Right.
Okay. Sterling Sharp all day. But MVS is not
made. That guy. All right, Wendy's Big Bacon Cheddar is finally here. It's got everything you could possibly want in a bacon cheeseburger. Creamy cheddar cheese, applewood smoked bacon, sweet bacon sauce, crispy onions, and that fresh, never-frozen beef that you just love, all on a toasted cheddar bun. Download the Wendy's app and get the new Big Bacon Cheddar Cheeseburger delivered to you today for a limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Lots to talk to Ben Fennell about. Lots to talk about his film analysis that he's throwing out there on Twitter. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. At @BenFennell_NFL. He joins us next.
You're listening to The Big Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, rise, shine, and dine for just $1.99. Right now at Wendy's, you can get a sausage or bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant for just $1.99. So run, don't walk to Wendy's in the morning. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, he is Ben Fennell. Schneider is hiring drivers right now. For more info, call him 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Ben Fennell of the NFL Network and, of course, NFL on CBS producer as well. Follow him on Twitter at BenFennell_NFL. Thanks for coming on, Ben. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to talk to you guys. I wish we had a win to break down, but that's life in the NFL. It's tough to win on a week-to-week basis. So let's dive into the tape here.
I really enjoy following you on Twitter, as you know, because I say it all the time. And I believe the term you used was they're back to playing hero ball again, and that's not going to work. Why don't you go a little bit more in-depth and explain to everybody what that means?
So hero ball is putting the pressure and a lot of the emphasis on the quarterback position, and it felt a lot like 2015, 16, 17, 18, Aaron Rodgers, where he has to make the offense move. He needs to make the big plays. He needs to create out of structure and make tight window throws. And it just really started to dry up towards the end of the McCarthy era. And you realize it works better with a complementary offense. And Matt LaFleur came in and tried to instill balance to this team and establish the run. And that's why I talk about it being a QB-friendly offense the past two seasons under LaFleur, because you establish the run game and the pass game opens up off of that. However, hero ball is 50-plus dropbacks and putting the pressure on the quarterback once again, and I feel like that's what we saw on Sunday against the Saints.
And I would agree with you, Ben. And we also saw a tweet that you had, I would believe that's regarding, who was that, Steve, the defensive back?
King.
No, was it Savage or King?
Well, King blew the coverage.
Right.
Savage had the interception.
Savage was the tweet that I
Savage, about his play, but how he looks. Can you explain that?
So Darnell Savage, I feel like, is a really interesting player because he has a lot of explosive traits. He has really good closing speed. He can click and close. He's a good top-down player. So a lot of his big plays and coverage have been in that robber role where he gets to the middle of the defense and can break on passes, does a great job reading the quarterback. However, playing on the back end, he just always seems to be a tick late in making his reads and passing off coverage. He struggles in man-to-man. And he's not this enforcing thumping safety. So he's not a physical presence. And when you need a safety to run the alley and finish a ball carrier or be an imposing presence on a defense from the safety position, which Joe Barry's scheme, the safeties are incredibly important in that cover four quarter scheme where they're going to have to come down and run support quite often. I know Joe Barry had Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald on the Rams, but John Johnson and Jordan Fuller last year were two of the better safety tandems in the NFL. So I just don't really know where Darnell Savage can excel the best in this scheme and in the NFL. I think he's more of a nickel player, more of a true corner defensive back than a safety player. And I just see too many lapses, mental lapses, and then physical lapses on down-to-down plays with Darnell Savage.
I don't have the snap count in front of me, but I saw it yesterday or the day before at some point. And Shannon Sullivan was the guy that they played in nickel more than anybody else. So you're saying you'd prefer Savage there over Sullivan then?
Just because I don't prefer him as a true safety position. Right. I need him to be a more physical presence or be more savvy and instinctual in his zone and man coverage over the middle of the field. So I like when he blitzes. I like when we put him in that robber role. But I feel like those flash highlight plays really overshadow his down-to-down play. And that's why my tweet was a little contentious to some people.
It was.
People think he's a star and a playmaker, and he has flashed star playmaking ability. That's why we took him in the first round. But the full body of work has a long way to go.
What about this defense with Joe Barry? Is there really that much difference between what he's doing and what Mike Pettine is doing at this point?
No, and I've been saying that all summer. It's going to be a zone-based defense. You're going to try to keep it in front of you. You have to rally to the ball. But those types of defenses, you have to be physical. You have to be nasty. When you rally to the ball, you got to smash them when you get there. You're trying to get that ball loose, and that's the nature of the defense. But if you're playing deep, playing soft, and allowing completions and not smashing them underneath, that's how you allow 9-play drives, 15-play drives, 15-play drives. And that's the way the Saints started last week. But the one thing I would say to Colin Packer fans, the Saints have the best offensive line in the NFL. Even when their center goes out, they're still the best offensive line in the NFL. That's a really tough unit. They're going to establish the run. They protected Jameis extremely well, and the Packers just had no juice or disruption to that offensive line or the pocket.
Well, let's get to that real quick, because I thought maybe 3 weeks ago, I know you looked at maybe the Tampa Bay Bucks defensive line, and really without naming names, how many defensive linemen on the Packers you think can make that rotation with the Buccaneers?
That's a great question. You know, I think a guy like Za'Darius Smith would fit in really well there. But outside of Za'Darius, I'm not sure there is a presence. Kenny Clark can play that Vita Vea role, but he won't be a guy that they see as a third down type of player. Kenny Clark isn't that versatile player like Ndamukong Suh is, or even a JPP over with the Tampa Bay Bucks. They are active. They are nasty. They are explosive. They're loose defensive linemen. They can play up and down. I just don't see enough disruptive players on the Packers defensive front outside of Za'Darius Smith. And I think that's what we're hoping Kenny Clark, you know, keeps developing into. And Preston is obviously taking a step back. You're hoping Rashawn Gary can keep on his trajectory as well. But you need more disruptive presence and a disruptive philosophy with those players as well. And Todd Bowles, he wants to disrupt, disrupt, disrupt. And he is not shy about doing it.
I want to go back to the beginning of that football game with the Green Bay Packers, the second drive, I guess, of the game. And you really broke down that piece of tape as well. And you just said second drive for Packers offense, Saints too deep. Packers use jet motion and get Dillon downhill, a little counter for 6 yards. Another 6 yards in the next play. LaFleur getting back on schedule. Then sack, pass, incompletion, punt. That jet motion that they used there didn't seem like they used it a whole bunch the rest of the game. Is that one of the things that they need to use more of and more of that pre-snap motion?
I just want Matt LaFleur to continue his offensive identity. And it just didn't feel like this was his type of game plan.
It wasn't.
And coming into the week, I mean, Gary, what does every team say in the summer when they ask in that first team meeting, hey, what type of team do we want to be? It's very generic. Everyone says physical, dominant, inside out, powerful in the trenches. Well, the New Orleans defense has backup defensive tackles in at the moment. They run a two-deep defense. There's no Malcolm Brown there anymore. David Onyemata, I think, is hurt or suspended or something. And they had 8 runs through 3 quarters. That's not Matt LaFleur.
No.
So that second drive, I said, okay, he's getting back on track. Easy run for 6. Easy run for 6. If it ain't broke, don't fix it if it's not broke. Keep running the ball. And, you know, whether it's that drive and them going a good run, and then pass off the field, or whether it was Aaron Rodgers not taking those free underneath throws like he did all last year, the offense just wasn't operating like we came to expect after 2020.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I said the exact same thing on our postgame show. And today we're doing, do you think the NFL has caught up with Matt LaFleur's offense? And my answer to that is no. I think what needs to happen is Rodgers needs to get back on time. He needs to take what the defense is giving him. If they're going to run maybe a 2-deep, or they're going to keep that safety back in the middle, there's got to be a lot of stuff coming open underneath that he's just not – maybe he's focusing on too much Devontae Adams or somewhere else, but there's guys open and he is just not playing on time.
And my response to that, Gary, just like you said, no, the NFL hasn't figured out Matt LaFleur's offense. And if you're using that based off of week 1 – that wasn't Matt LaFleur's offense. I don't know what that was, but they're going to get back on track against Detroit. Week 2 last year, they ran for 259, the most rushing yards in 18 years by the club. And, Gary, later in the week, go watch the Detroit linebackers against the 49ers this past week. Jamie Collins, Alex Anzalone. They have a corner from Syracuse, rookie Ifeatu Melifonwu, as their dime linebacker. If it's 3rd and 6 this week and he's that dime linebacker, I might run the ball. So I want to run. Watch these linebackers, Gary. They were a mess last week. If Matt LaFleur is watching the tape, which I know he is, they're going to run the ball this week.
You know, real quick, we had Ross Tucker on yesterday, and he said he thought it might have been a mistake that Petten left and then they hired Joe Barry with no real track record of winning football.
You know, I agree there. I didn't think Mike Petten was the problem. Now, maybe the players in his scheme and philosophy didn't necessarily mesh or gel with what he wanted to do. But I really like Mike Petten's philosophy of keep it in front of you, zone coverage, rally to the football, make offenses go 10, 12 plays down the field. That's the formula in the NFL these days. And I had news for Packers fans all spring and summer to say, Joe Barry runs the same thing. They're going to give up easy catches underneath, hopefully keep it in front of you. And you have to rally to the football and stop the run. Now, everyone's thinking, well, Kevin King's letting the ball go over his head. Well, there's some problems out there with personnel, so they might have to make some changes with people before the scheme.
Ben Fennell, NFL Network, NFL on CBS producer. What game are you at this weekend?
I'm heading to Pittsburgh. I got Steelers once again coming off the big win against Buffalo, and you got the Raiders coming to town. But that overtime win this past week against the Ravens on Monday night. So they went into overtime and have a short week and have to travel across the country. Oof. That's a tough combo
but
right
that
there.
That used to be a great rivalry game back in
no
the day.
No question.
Man.
Steelers, Raiders. Yes. I hope we have some good packages of those old 70s battles. I'm right there with you, Gary.
Yeah. That's awesome. Follow him on Twitter at @BenFennell_NFL. Thanks so much, Ben.
Yep, take care, guys.
Take care. There he is, Ben Fennell on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider's hiring drivers right now. For more info, call him 844-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. It's about like Ben Fennell. He ain't going to sugarcoat anything. He's just going to tell you what
told
he sees.
I told him without naming names. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
He named the names anyway.
Who cares?
So, basically, 2 players.
Yep.
Za'Darius for sure. Maybe Kenny Clark. Maybe.
That's it. He did not say Lowry. He did not say Lancaster. He did not say Kiki.
You didn't say anybody else. Didn't say Rashawn Gary. He said nobody else.
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to Brewers and Tigers coming up this afternoon. That's next on the Wendy's Big Show.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. Thanks to Ben Fennell for coming on. If you missed it or caught just part of it, you'll want to go back and listen to it. Ben Fennell is just so good. Download that Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, A-U-D-A-C-Y, or go to BigShowNetwork.com. Dan Plucker will have this hour up once we're all completed at BigShowNetwork.com. Time now for your field and game conditions report for today's game, Milwaukee in Detroit, brought to you by Mid-State Equipment. You can count on them on the web at midstateequipment.com. And yesterday, the forecast didn't call for rain, yet they ended up in a rain delay last night for over an hour. So not sure if AccuWeather is going to be all that accurate today, because they surely weren't yesterday, but we'll try it again today. First pitch looks like 72, real feel of 76. Like 0 to like 7% chance of rain throughout the afternoon for that game that starts later today. So, again, one would think that this will be a little bit more accurate than the one from yesterday. And that game yesterday, you know, you go extra innings, you end up losing 1-0. Freddy Peralta, pitches fine. Sixth inning, I don't even know. I don't remember who was at bat, but they had guys on base. The count was 3-0 from Peralta. Then it went to 3-1, and this dude is swinging and pops it up. And I'm going, in a 0-0 game, what are you doing? Make him throw two strikes in a row before you go do that.
Right.
And completely bailed Peralta out of that inning. Then the Brewers have another opportunity later with Yelich, and he hits into a double play to end the inning. That should have at least been a run there probably to win the game, and they couldn't get that done. So just one of those deals where you just couldn't get anything going. But Brandon Woodruff on the mound today for the Milwaukee Brewers comes in 9-8 with a 2.48 ERA. Think about that. He's a 2.48 ERA. Mm-hmm. He has one more win than loss.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Matt Manning for the Tigers today, 3-6 with a 6.14 ERA. And now things get difficult with this magic number, Gary. The magic number, obviously, is, you know, combination of Brewers wins and the second place team losses. So this whole time, it's been pretty much based around what the Cincinnati Reds were doing.
Mm-hmm.
The Cincinnati Reds, who apparently had this such an easy schedule in September, lost again to the Pirates last night. The Cardinals came back and they won last night. So the Cardinals are now in second.
Mm-hmm.
So now the magic number to make the postseason is 4, but to win the division still remains at 5, because now it's the Brewers versus the Cardinals, who are now in second place, figuring out how much it'll take for the Brewers to win the division. Either way, this thing should be done by the end of the weekend, mm-hmm. I would think. I mean, it's Friday, Saturday, latest Sunday. They should have the division wrapped up, I would think, Plucker, right?
Well, and those tickets for Brewers-Cardinals that Christian Yelich was giving away, that's a big series. That could win the division right there next week.
Sure could. If it gets that far, I don't think it's going to get. I think this thing is done this weekend.
You
as far
so?
As the division goes. Yeah, I do. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Coming up next, how will you remember Ryan Braun? He announced his retirement yesterday. Complicated history with Ryan Braun and this Brewers team. We'll talk about that next here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Wisconsin wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.